Andrew Rusty Holzer? Rusty, in quotes?
That's the doctor's card.
To put a nickname on the card? Why is he doing that?
Well, you may have a seat.
Okay.
And he'll be right out.
You're listening to League of Ordinary Gentlemen Curbcast, Season 10, Episode 6, The Surprise Party. I'm Matt Durson.
Clay Inferno.
Last week, we didn't even interview. We didn't even introduce each other. I just went right into it.
You know, it was it was stylistically a cool choice, I thought.
Oh, is that what you thought? You thought it was a choice?
I literally forgot. Every time, but like a lot of podcasts I listen to, that they just come in. Right in the middle,
guess,
and there's no music or anything.
Right.
So I felt like I was visiting one of those podcasts, except for whatever it was ours.
You were visiting.
I was like, oh, that's a cool, it was like a cool edit. Even it was like a non-edit. It's like minimalism.
Minimalism. It's just like Kramer's friend Spectre is becoming a minimalist. But he also liked fat women. So it was kind of a weird, he said, doesn't the fat fetish conflict with the minimalism? It was a funny, but anyways, this is like off topic, but I did one time when John and I, it was just me and John doing the podcast, and we were both just talking and we never started it. And so I just had to like start the podcast. And we were just talking and that was it. And I was like, all right.
It happened with us over the years. It's bound to have happened a couple of times. It's just like, whoops. Actually, the last time we talked to Rob Liefeld.
Yeah, I missed half of it.
Well, not half of it, like 5 minutes maybe.
Right. Did you get it all this time?
I did, yeah.
Oh, good.
It's funny because, well, I guess we should tell people because it might not be up for a little while. Will you tell people?
I'll tell people
a story.
We interviewed Rob Liefeld. That's what we're telling them, right? That's it. It was great. It was kind of short notice. It was quick, but it was great. It's always great to talk to him. We've talked to him twice. It's amazing. Yeah, and he's very passionate.
I was just, I was flustered, I think. So I was like, and I forgot.
Yeah.
Forgot to press it.
But that's fine. We got it this time. So
yeah, it was cool.
Very good. And he's a passionate one. That's for sure. He's a passionate guy.
He's a passionate one. Exciting. That's Ballroom Blitz.
There you go. All right, but now we're here for Curbcast. We're not talking about Rob Liefeld or comics. We're talking about Larry David.
Talking about our 20-minute pre-show about DC Comics.
I know. We just talked about comics for 20 minutes, but tonight we are talking about The Adventures of Larry David and this episode. So I want to say before we get started here, this we talked about it a little bit last week. This season has had so many guests.
So many.
This is crazy. And so like this one has Fred Armisen, which is of course he's one of the funniest people on earth. Right? I mean, come on. Alan Tudyk is in this one. I don't know, Greg. I don't know if you know Greg. I don't know if it's German, whatever his name is. I've always liked him. I've always thought he played Rusty, the doctor. I always thought he was really funny.
He looked familiar, but I can't really say I know where I know him from. He's a guy to me. Hey, it's that guy.
He did Ally McBeal. That's where I remember him from way back in the day. That's like 20 years ago. But like he's also been in a lot of
Dancing Baby. Gift.
That's right. That's what Ally McBeal was noted for. That was a big deal back then. That was to
the
have
first,
that
meme.
Yeah, and it was like CGI on TV. You know what I mean? Like never happened back then. It was just
a lawyer show. Cool.
I know. It was kind of a quirky. I haven't watched it in forever. I wonder if it's good. I think it's probably still funny. I don't know. Maybe. But I always liked this guy. I forget. I feel bad because I don't actually know how he pronounces his name. Is it German? Do you think it's G-E-R-M-A-N-N? Did you say German? German. Hermann? Hermann? Germain? That's not germane to the situation. Anyway, so there's a lot of people. Rebecca Romijn is the receptionist. I mean, what the hell?
Would you believe that I didn't catch that one?
Hmm.
Could you believe it?
No, I can believe it because I didn't catch it either. I was like, who is that attractive woman? And then I found I looked.
I thought she was
looked
hot.
Her up. Yeah, no,
she was.
Yeah, look at her. I mean, I don't know. Doug, and then, of course, Chris Martin. Do you think that people just want to be on this show, or do you think that they're seeking out?
I'm thinking that they are really friends of him, or I mean, I can't explain Chris Martin.
Yeah, I can't explain that either. In fact, I mean, well, we'll get to it, but he really had no purpose.
Yeah, like maybe a little bit of the. Like the people that they have working on the show, that like one of those people is casting. So, you know,
right. Yeah. There's obviously a casting director, but
they get asked or does Larry, ask
right. I mean, like, or... do you, I don't know, like someone like Fred Armisen, who is in everything anyway, but do you think they're just like friends and Larry sees him one day. And he's like, oh man, you gotta come on. And he's like, yeah, I'd love to or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like Fred Armisen, that's
for him or something.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Like, all right, how about you be this guy, the guy with the walker? Because I mean, he could do anything. And now they've had both people from Portlandia. They had, what's her name? What the hell is her name? Carrie. What the hell is her name? They're Carrie Brownstein. Thank you. Maybe that was how it worked out. She was like, oh, just call Larry. I don't know. Whatever. I mean, it was great to see you.
I know we're going to go through episode by episode, but Fred Armisen, like, he was also in Jane Silent Bob reboot recently. Did you see that movie?
You might no. Not,
I don't blame you if you didn't.
Oh, good.
Funny because he's the funniest driving around in a car and talking to the other person. Like, he's like that. He's an Uber driver for Jane Silent Bob. That's hilarious. The part is almost exactly the same as this one. Except for there's an Uber driver and he makes like tater tots in his Uber for his passengers. And, you know, some people, he's like, some people have water and stuff, but I like make tater tots in his glove box is like a toaster oven.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
It's really pretty funny. But of course it's James Silent Bob. So they have to go like from like New York City to LA in an Uber. You know what I mean? It's like
the whole time with Fred Armisen. Yeah. All right. Well, maybe I'll check it out.
It's the funny stuff happens, but Fred Armisen and so many celebrity cameos in that, from Ben Affleck to Ralph Garman to so many people in that. So good. And in Portlandia, when he's driving around with Carrie and he's like the Uber driver or ride share, it's like a ride share. That's hilarious. And like when he's driving and he's like, what are the honks for? And he's like, yeah, they're for other people.
Right.
He's so
they're not for me. They're for other people. Like, I know. He's so just good there. Yeah. I mean, he is one of the funniest people anyway. But
he looked really old too. I think they like dressed him up really old. And like,
yeah, I think they kind of just made him look like an old guy. Yeah.
But he was doing Fred Armisen like physical comedy. Like when he was like, yeah. On the walker at Larry's doors, and he's like trying to turn around. Like,
right. He's like, why did you just walk backwards? that was so good.
India style.
Yeah, it was. It really was. Like, he kind of does have that. He's kind of becoming Fred Armisen, like, in all of his stuff, but he does it so well. I'm not complaining.
Oh, I'm not complaining. I think it's fucking brilliant.
Yeah. Fucking brilliant. All right, so Larry, let's start off right off the bat. Larry, of course, he does something wrong in the first, the opening scene. He pulls into a handicap spot. And Mocha Joe's mom, Mocha Jane, as he calls him, comes out to yell at him and says he can't park there. He's like, well, I'm only going to be a minute and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's kind of a funny back and forth. And then she says, oh, you're a latte, Larry. And he says, oh, yes. And she says, you know, we're going to beat you and all that stuff. And he says, we shall see, Mocha Jane. I just thought that was a great line. We shall see, Mocha Jane. Anyway, I got to open my beer here. One second. It's a bottle. I had to use a bottle opener. So anyways, Larry, he's getting ready. I think it's his 3 weeks till opening is what it said on the sign, right? Of Latte Larry's. I don't know if you caught that.
Oh, yeah. I tried to take a screenshot but it wouldn't let me. I was on my phone. And then I'm like on the HBO app and I took a screenshot of it because I want to look at the sign. And because of whatever, like copy protection, it's just like a black screen. But it says on the sign, no wobbly tables.
Is that what it says? I didn't even notice
that. No wobbly tables.
I mean, this place sounds pretty good. So yeah, we go inside, right? Freddy Funkhauser comes in. Vince Vaughn. So apparently, yeah, he is just replacing. This is definitely a role for Marty Funkhauser. This was definitely what Marty Funkhauser would have been doing. So Freddy Funkhauser is just, it's almost like an old 80s sitcom or whatever, you know, like Night Court or something where like somebody would die and they just kind of replaced it with like a, you know, like a, I don't know. Feel like in the 80s. Yeah. Like Coach and Woody. There you go. There you go. Of course. But like, yeah, we're replacing him with his stepbrother or half brother or whatever. So, but I mean, Vince Vaughn is a great, choice. So, but anyway, so he comes in. Larry's telling him he's got these great ideas. There's gonna be coat racks at every table, and a little Purell station at every table. So you wash up, and he's like, "What is it?" Freddie Funkhauser is a little. Vince Vaughn's a little like, "What? Like what?"
You know, but, it says, who's coming in? Howie Mandel and his family?
Yeah, Howie Mandel and his family are coming in. But I like, it's like, you're like
the way that Vince Vaughn is like, his comedy is always the same. Like his dialogue and the way they edit him is like so good. He's like, yeah, I like the bones of it. And he's
yeah, right.
Like, he's like, I wanted to see the auditorium before the two gladiators started going at it, Latte Larry and Mocha Joe.
But he's got a Mocha Joe cup. I mean, like, yeah. So it's kind of like, so anyways, they go, but Larry is excited to show him the bathroom. It's a 21st century bathroom. And I have to say, I find this amazing. I was skeptical about the P-Cube. As he was talking about it last week, but looking at this thing, I mean, I would love to urinate in there. It's amazing. So like they call them snowshoes. Yeah, the ski shoes. Like they raise up, then you like it. You can, because Leon was saying if you had a big penis, it wouldn't work. But this it adjusts to your height. And also splash free, Larry says. So I love this. And so Leon's like, great, where's the shitter? Well, not Leon, I should say Freddy. He says, great, where's the shitter? He's like, oh, no. There'll be no defecation. Of course, he reiterated, he said that last week. He's like, well, you'll lose customers. He's like, I'd rather have a no coffee buyer than a defecator, which is one of the greatest lines. I mean, like, what the hell? It's got to be one of the greatest lines ever uttered on television. I'd rather have a no coffee buyer than a defecator.
Where the ladies were going to go too, and of course,
that's right. We talked about this last week, and now they addressed it. They must have listened. Sure, they listened to her.
They did, yeah.
So they go to the ladies' room and. It's like, I've never, I don't even know what to be. So it's almost like a bicycle or something. Like you squat, there's no touching, which goes back to the conversation he had with the woman in the first episode of this season, where she, you know, she talked about, oh, we have to squat. Cause you know, she talked about how gross ladies' rooms are and all that. And so this is it's like, he listened to her. But then, like, they test it out. No. But I mean, he remembered, I guess. So he said, you know, yeah. But I like how Freddie's like, where do the pants go? He's like, oh, like they can, yeah, like he doesn't have an answer. So they test it out. They test out this weird toilet where you squat, like the wind, and they're facing frontwards. The women, so like you're facing the yep. wall.
And there was
like and then a, they get tired.
That bar they hold on to.
Yeah. And Larry's basically saying, like, well, I mean, you know, how long does it take to pee? So it's like, because, but they kind of like, they're kind of like, oh, it's kind of hurts. Like, they can't squat for very long. They have to get up.
He's like, what happens with their pants? And he's like, I don't know. Yeah, whatever they do with them.
Right. Right. He's like, I don't know. They can do whatever. Yeah, he doesn't care.
You can't wait till Susie or Carol goes in to there. Because you're going to, like, let him have it.
They will. So anyways, they go back out.
There's no like there's nothing in between those two stalls either. So with like two girls are sitting there like peeing next to each other like that.
I guess. Yeah, I guess you're right. Was there any toilet paper here? I guess. I don't know. I mean, how's it work? Yeah,
Where's the paper?
I don't know. Maybe there'll be walls installed later. It looked like
there was a hell of a lot of room there. That's all I'm saying.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. I don't know. Women. Whatever women do, I guess. I don't know. But you're right. There was no room for. Which is funny because Larry, when they were doing the episode, when they were doing the season where they were buying the restaurant, Larry wanted like separated urinals. He wanted urinals that had, you know, like a separator between them, like a wall, like a wall sort of between the urinals. So, I guess the women don't need that though. Cause women don't care. Men don't want to look at each other's penises, obviously, but women, I guess don't give a shit. So,
yeah, well, they have their own little stall. They have their own little privacy when they go into a
place. I guess you're right. But
they're not like.
But I don't know.
Their ass isn't like right next to somebody else's ass. With pee coming out of it.
All right, you're right. Yeah, it's true. Well, maybe they'll address that on a future episode.
I just want to see what Susie. I say leave it up to them, the ladies on the show, to react to this because I bet it's going to be hilarious.
So they go outside, they go back out into the restaurant, and Larry says he wants the one thing he really wants is one of those cups. Oh, I mean, I feel like I've seen these in like Spencer's Gifts or Newbery Comics or something. It's like a thing that keeps the coffee hot.
Yeah.
I've seen it with tea. I've seen like tea mugs that do this anyway. But he wants like a thing that'll keep the coffee hot. And Funkhauser, in like a total Kramer kind of moment, he's like, oh yeah, I know a guy.
Yeah,
you know, it's a total Kramer thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he can make it keep the coffee hot while you're drinking it. So
said he has like 45 anyway. Patents.
That's right, he does say. So then Susie comes in, Funkhauser leaves, Susie comes in, and she tells Larry she's going to throw a surprise.
We have to talk about how when Susie and Freddie see each other, she calls him like the mattress king. And he's like, he points to his belt and he's like, no, the mattress, you know, champ. Like as if he had like a boxing or wrestling belt on.
Like a, right. Oh my God. Yeah, and you're then, right. I didn't even catch that.
And that, because it just reminded me that like, you remember, like, in old school when he had, like, Speaker City or whatever? And he was, like, I'm the, you know, he was, like, the Sausage King of Chicago, but for speakers in old school.
That's right.
And I think that basically this is the same character. He's the mattress champ of this universe. But it's just, like, you know, no, I'm the champ, you know? Like, he probably has, like, t-shirts, like, with mattress champ on him or something, you know, but he's like the man, he's like owns all of the mattress champs around.
Right. He's like he's the champion of mattresses.
But I was just like, oh, it's the same. He's playing the same guy as, you know, earmuffs, you know, like he's playing the same guy just later.
Good catch.
He got out of the speaker business and now he's doing mattresses.
Yeah, maybe.
What happened since 2003. Yeah. Which is when old school.
That's true.
It was a long
time. Wow. Yeah, it was. Oh my God. Jesus, I didn't even. I can't believe how old. Anyway,
Blue
so
probably
Susie,
is dead. Blue probably is dead by now.
Yeah, he probably is. Yeah, I mean it's been 17 years. Come on.
Yeah.
Oh well.
R.I.P. Blue.
R.I.P. So we're in the old school universe. That's pretty amazing. Which is great because Curb was going on as that in 2003. I mean, Curb was still a thing. So they were going on concurrently.
That's right.
Anyway, Susie tells Larry that she's throwing a surprise party for Jeff. And he needs to be in on the ruse. Larry is immediately not into this. First of all, he doesn't want to go to a party, probably. But he also is suspicious because Jeff, he thinks that surprising Jeff like that would like give him a heart attack. He's very concerned with Jeff's health, which is nice. Hey, good for you, Larry. So anyways, he decides he's going to go to their cardiologist. They both go to the same doctor. And, you know, he's going to ask him if this is okay, if he thinks Jeff is okay to do this. So he goes to the cardiologist and he finds out, like, he gets a business card. First, he talks to Rebecca Romijn a little bit because he doesn't have an appointment. He's just showing up. He looks at the business card and it says, you know, the doctor's name, but it's Rusty in quotes. It's like Jim, whatever, Rusty, whatever his name is. And he's like, Rusty. Ugh. So anyway, Larry's talking her ear off. He's talking to Rebecca Romijn. And she's kind of like, well, just if you just have a seat, like she keeps trying to kind of like just put him off. And he's like, you know, I'm not hitting on you. The whole world is not, it's not a hit.
You know,
which is actually pretty funny. That seems like something absolutely Larry would. I mean, that's a total Larry thing.
Yeah,
it's great. And Rebecca Romijn is just blowing him off. He's like, you know, like not everyone is hitting on you, which is pretty funny. So anyway, like we said, Greg,
annoying, like especially when he like.
Right.
Way he like puts his leg over there and he like way leans into her desk and he's like, so what do you think of that painting over there? He's like,
I know it is kind of,
you know, like he's like,
yeah,
really
it is a little
super annoying, like over the top, like
right, asking her what she brings for lunch.
There could be odors. What do you do for lunch?
Right, like exactly you gotta be careful.
He started talking to the date on the first episode there, though, saying, like, how long did it take you to take that for granted, that view behind you?
Yeah, take that view for granted. Yeah. It is, it's true. I mean, he is being really annoying, but it's just that's what Larry does. You know, it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he comes out, Greg German, I don't know what Rusty. We'll just call him Rusty.
Yeah, Rusty.
And like they have this kind of very awkward conversation. He's telling him about it. He's like, oh yeah, I'm a little concerned. But it's like, I mean, he obviously wants to go to the party because he asked where it is and he wants it. Like Rusty, first of all, before we get to the party, Larry's like, what's up with Rusty? He's like, man, I feel like a Rusty. He's like, you don't give yourself a nickname. If you ate peaches and threw up in junior high, someone might call you Peaches, which is a really weird thing. But it's true. It's almost like the T-Bone. Do you remember that on Seinfeld where no. George wanted to be called T-Bone? Oh, well, that was a great episode of Seinfeld. George wanted to be given a nickname and he wanted to be called T-Bone. So like for lunch, he was working in an office and for lunch, he's like, I'm just I think I want a T-bone steak. And they were like, a T-bone for lunch? He's like, I'm just a T-bone kind of guy. And then another guy ordered he's like, yeah, I'll have a T-bone too. And they said, you know, maybe we should call you T-bone. And George is like, no,
I'm T-bone. The other guy?
Yeah, to the other guy. So anyway, yeah, this kind of goes back to that. Like, you can't just be Rusty. Like, some people have to call you Rusty.
He's like, I'm just trying it on.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I feel like
it's
a Rusty.
It's new. Turn it on.
So anyways, I mean, eventually, like, it works out where Larry's like, yeah, just, you know, like, I forget how it ended, in fact. I don't even remember. Did he say, like, oh, they did the thing
like,
with,
I wouldn't
like,
feel good about that if I didn't know there was a doctor was in attendance. And then he hears this hot restaurant and Chris Martin is going to be there. So he's like, yo, no, maybe, I don't know. But he's trying to be coy, but he really wants to get an invite to the thing.
Yeah, he really wants to go to the party. So, and that, but he does say, like, oh, just say you're going to dinner with him and tell Susie you didn't get the text, right? Is that this scene or is that later? I think that's
like later. Yeah. Later plotting.
Yeah. Right. So, anyway, Larry says he's going to try to get him invited. That's what happened. Larry said, okay, I'll talk to Susie. I'll get you invited. So Larry's like, can I use the bathroom? And this guy says, oh, yeah, sure, which is really funny because this kind of harkens back again to the lawyer who wouldn't let him use the bathroom, right? So this is where we meet Fred Armisen. He's got a walker. Now, we're in a doctor's office, so whatever. And Larry is behind him in the hallway. Can't get around him. And this guy's walking real slow, of course. And Larry finally, I thought it took him longer than I expected, but Larry finally just jumped, you know, passes him.
Right.
And runs to the restroom and beats him there. So, and then Larry comes out and Fred Armisen is waiting there. And he says, you know, that was really, you know, weird what you did there. You knew I was going to the restroom. And Larry says he had bad walker etiquette, which I thought was a funny line.
He's like, you know, you're the slow car. You should, you know, give me one of these, you know, hand motion to go.
Yeah,
around.
Give him a wave. Yeah. The hand. It's basically, like you're on the highway. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, get over to the left if you're not going to drive, you know, 65 or whatever. So, yeah, he's kind of, but I guess Larry does. I don't know. I mean, this scene's kind of very un-Larry, but he says, I'll buy you a cup of coffee sometime to make up for it.
And he talks about how he has a good bona fides with the handicapped community because he dated one girl and then he got.
Oh, he dated two. The
other, yeah.
Yeah, he dated two. Remember, there was Denise handicapped.
Like, yeah, cool.
Yeah, there was Wendy wheelchair and Denise handicapped. Oh, my God. Can you? Yeah. But yeah, I do love that line where he says his disabled bona fides are well established. I know that was a classic. That Wendy wheelchair in his phone because he to remember their names. You know how people, do that. So, anyways, he goes to Susie. He's trying to get the doctor invited. She's like, "No way, he's boring." And he actually brings up he thinks that she's trying to kill him.
Yeah,
and she's chopping the vegetables. She's like, she's chopping lettuce. And she's like, if you tell him, I'll kill you. So Larry's very scared, as everyone is, of Susie. He's not very scared, but he thinks she's up to no good. All right, so next we meet Alan Tudyk. Oh, my God, one of my favorite. I love this guy. He is such a funny, I mean, everything. He's Arrested Development, obviously Firefly, but Arrested Development, he's really funny. Even Rogue One, he's like the comic relief in that. I mean, this guy is very, what's his name? Whatever, the pirate guy in the Dodgeball. What was his name? Like, Pete the Pirate, whatever. I forget his first name now. But
in what?
Anyway, in Dodgeball. He was in Dodgeball with Vince Vaughn.
Oh, I
tell you. All the Kevin Bacon things you could.
That one.
Yeah. Well, he's the pirate guy. I forget his first name. He's something the pirate. I forget. But anyways. So he's the inventor in this one. He's Vince Vaughn's friend, the inventor. And they're talking about the coffee cup. He's got a dog named Adolf.
Yeah. He has his name's Boris or something, isn't it? And he's got like
I think
dog named
he's
Adolf
German. Yeah,
talks in like a German accent.
Well, he named this dog after his grandfather, And the, because he looks like him, which I thought was really weird.
Yeah.
So the dog is barking at him. He's like, oh, excuse me a minute. And he goes to get something. And the dog is barking at Larry. And he's showing his teeth like he's really, it's like a nasty, you know, or he's like, and Larry's really scared. And he gives him the Heil Hitler.
German and then the dog goes, scary, man. Those dogs and pit bulls, like, I mean, I like dogs and I don't think that all dogs are like scary, but like a German Shepherd can be scary. Just like a pit bull can be scary. You're like, ugh.
Yeah, no, it can be scary. But, so the dog loves him. So he comes back, like, when Alan Tudyk comes back, he tells us, Larry's like, your dog, like, just, you know, like, was barking at me, then I gave him the Heil Hitler, and then he loves me. So he's like, oh, well, I used to train him with treats. You know, when I would put my arm up like that, it was a whole.
And he goes, why would you do that? And he goes, why did it work?
Yeah, that's the best line. You're right. How would you do that? I said, why did it work? So that is pretty good. That's classic, Larry. So anyway, he's telling Funkhauser and Leon about, he says, the guy's got a white supremacist dog. They're talking about it, and he's like, "Hey, well, you know, he's." But they're trying the coffee, which was great. So, like, they're waiting for the coffee to see if it's still going to be warm after 10 minutes.
Well, and also, like Vince Vaughn says, he's like one of those guys that chases tornadoes. He has this really nice shirt, to storm watch, and a nice hat. I mean, and in case people don't know, that's an. Oh, a white nationalist terrorist organization. It's not a tornado chaser. So, like, Stormwatch is, like, white nationalist terrorists. So, when he was, like, showing him his hat and his shirt, he was, like, not saying that he chased tornadoes around.
But then they kind of talk about, like, Leon at least says something about, like, yeah, those white motherfuckers chasing tornadoes. And Larry's like, what, like, black people don't chase tornadoes? He's like, no, you know. Only white people do. So, but Leon's got, he wants to meet this guy because he's got a million ideas, including my favorite, well, pussy tea. It's it tastes like pussy without the commitment. So anyways, the coffee is good. I mean, it's still hot, but the other funny thing comes out of this conversation is, it's like the choice. It's like, do you tell Jeff that the surprise, you know, there's a surprise party, and or do you, you know, do you not tell him? And because Susie said he would kill him, and Funkhauser's like, oh, if Jeff dies, could you live with the guilt? And I was like, yeah, you know, like it's fine. He's not worried about it. He'd rather live with the guilt.
Jeff. Yeah, it's either right. Jeff. Somebody's gonna die.
Yeah, so you'd rather live with the guilt.
It's kind of like the Cantaloupe thing they had going. It's like, yeah, we would just, let's just not.
Yeah. So then Larry decides, I forget how they come to this. It doesn't really matter. He's got two appointments in Beverly Hills, but they're like an hour apart, and he needs something to do in between. So he decides he's going to wait in Rusty's waiting room, because that's what it is. It's a waiting room. So he goes back to that doctor's office and talks to Rebecca Romijn again, who can't stand him. And he's like, well, it's a waiting room. He's just waiting. It's not a hit. He has to establish that again.
And she's just like, it seemed more like stalking. Like, you're showing up at my work uninvited. She's like,
I feel like this is going to come back to bite him in the ass. With the whole Me Too thing, right? I mean, this is definitely being done. They're really establishing she's going to end up being involved in whatever lawsuit or whatever, right? I mean, it's got to be.
I think so, unless they drop it like everything else, you know?
Yeah, maybe. They could. They could do that.
It could go
either way. So anyway.
It's like 50-50.
Yeah, you're right. It could go either way. So they establish, this is what I talked about earlier, if he pretends he's going to have dinner with Jeff. And then Susie will cancel and he'll just pretend he didn't get the text. So then Rusty could just come to the party.
Susie to lie to her about getting the text or not. And he's probably an honest guy. He's probably never lied like that. He's not like Larry.
That's true. But he is very afraid of Susie. And he says everybody's afraid of Susie. But Larry doesn't care.
And then that's when Larry starts to call him Rusty. He's like, come on, Rusty. Don't be a wuss. Rusty.
He does. He says it. Don't be a wuss, Rusty. He's into it now. Yeah, he's into calling him. Yeah,
now he's into it. Rusty. Well, because he's like, I need you to do something for me. So you want people to call you Rusty? Sure, I'll do it. Come on, Rusty.
Yeah, right, exactly. Now he's trying to
good and comfortable about it.
Kiss up to him a little bit. Yeah, like I need you to do this for me. So, all right. So the next scene is Fred Armisen and Larry David in the car, as you were talking about. It's Fred Armisen is driving like super slow. And there are cars driving around him honking. And he says, oh, no, those aren't for me. Those are for other people. I mean, the conversation is just ridiculous. I can't even really remember all the little things. But everything that he says, like, well, I don't want to tell you, but, and then he tells them. Or, I mean, like, there's so many just funny. I feel like none of that was scripted, obviously, right? I mean, that was all, close. Fred they were Armisen just.
Is also, you can tell from Portlandia, is also like, it's the same kind of show a lot of the time. It's like they're making stuff up. Like when him and Carrie sit down at a restaurant, like they're probably there for hours, like shooting different pieces of dialogue they're just coming up with about like the free range chickens or whatever, like it's probably the same kind of thing. The exact same kind
You're
of
You're probably show. Right. Yeah. So it comes out to like he wants him to follow Susie into a travel agency. Well, to just follow Susie in general. She ends up going into a travel agency and they can park right in front because Fred Armisen, I don't even know his name in the show. I'm just going to keep calling Fred Armisen. But Fred Armisen has a handicap. Oh, it's Wally. Okay, great. Thank you. I do remember that now. Someone's hammering out there. Sorry. Anyway, so he's got a handicap placard. So he pulls out his handicap placard, and they park right in front. And Larry is so psyched. So anyways, he's like, just go in there, pretend you're looking at some pamphlets, and just listen to where she's going and what she's planning. And so that takes, like, a long time, too, because he's trying to figure out. He's like, oh, do I introduce myself? He's like, no, I don't want you to know who she is. Like, I mean, like, I don't want her to know who you are. Yeah, he's like, do you want to come in with me? He's like, no, you're spying. Like, she knows who I am.
Yeah.
So it's so funny. So they go in. He goes in. Larry stays in the car. He goes in, and Susie's booking a trip to the Bahamas, which is really funny because she's like, oh, look at the weather out here. I got to get to the Bahamas. It's like a little bit of rain.
Yeah, but L.A., well, you know. You've been there. You do not.
Yeah, I was there during.
Well, to rain out there.
It's true. It rained for weeks when I was out there. It was El Nino.
Really?
It wasn't. Yeah, that was weird. Wow. They never get that much rain. It never rains in Southern California. You know that, Clay.
I do.
According to the song. So anyways.
There's plenty of room.
She needs it quick. He says, too. He says, yeah. So anyway, she says, I need it quick. So she wants to get to the Bahamas quick.
All leading to the theory, the supposition that she just killed Jeff and just go to the Bahamas.
Just go to the Bahamas. Yeah, right, as soon as it's over. So he gets back to the car. Larry's, he's like, oh, yeah, she wanted to go to the Bahamas and she wanted to do it pretty quickly. Larry wants to borrow.
Like saying like, I did a really good job of like looking at the brochures when I was in there. They had one a cool one about Japan.
Right, he talks about Japan.
You said you're going to spare me all the details. Like, I don't need to know.
Right, that's the funny thing. It's like I'll spare the details, and then
he was like, I don't need to know your whole day planner here. Like, let's go. Like, everybody wants to tell these long stories.
But it's funny when he's, yeah, I love that he says, like, well, I don't want to, I'll spare you the details. And then he gives him all the details. And I thought you're going to spare me the details. So anyways, but like, yeah, they have a, like, Larry begs him for, to, because he says he's going away for a week. Because that was another point. Oh, we'll do this again sometime. He's like, well, I'm gone next week, which I thought was pretty funny. Because I've had people do that, you know, like, and I'm not going to say just specifics, but you know, when you talk to someone and you're like, yeah, we should do this again. And they're like, yeah, well, I'm not around next week. You're like, well, I didn't really mean next, you know what I mean? Like, I don't, yeah. We don't have to do it. I meant sometime in the future. I don't mean like next week.
Right.
But, yeah, because I've actually had that happen. But anyways, Larry, but that's more of just
had like a pushy person be like, oh, let's pull out the day planner and
figure out. Right, which now. I get it. I mean, I kind of get it. If you really want to hang out with a person, then it's like you've got to make the plan. But sometimes you're just saying, oh, we'll do this again. I don't know. You know, I guess maybe I'm being mean. I guess I'm being
mean. No, I'm with you. It's like, yeah, we'll do it again. Like,
we'll do it again in like 3 months.
It also means like, you know what I mean? We're just spending a bunch of time with each other. Now it's time to go home.
Yeah.
And be like, that was nice when we went out with those people just then. You're not like immediately like, it's like, but I want to go home still and like put on Star Trek, you know? Like,
well, yeah. This was great. I also kind of, yeah, it was great. And then I feel like if we do it again, like in months, like months from now, we'll have more stuff to talk about. You know what I mean? Like you wouldn't have stuff to talk about. If I see you next week, we've already talked about everything, you know, like we can't hang out again. I need time.
Yeah. It's but, like, that was anyway, great. Let's move on.
Yeah. We'll do it again soon. Like we will. It's not that I don't want to, but you know, not next week, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I think that was really just to establish that he wouldn't be using his handicap placard.
Yeah.
So Larry's like, "Well, can I buy
that the day of Jeff's surprise party?"
He was right.
Back on the
20th. Day of the party. That's right. That's right. We established that as well. But Larry's really into this handicap placard. And he's like, well, all right. And he starts to tell him about the number. And he's like, well, I can see the number. It's right there on this. It's like G96 or whatever. And now, like, if you lose it, I'll have to get a temporary one. And that's a T. And he's like, oh, okay. So Larry gets it, though. He lets Larry borrow it, which is ridiculous. But it's pretty so he goes home to Leon with this handicap placard. And he's like, Leon, I did it. I got it. And Leon says, you won the handicap lottery. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. So Rachel's mother had double knee replacements years ago. And so they have a handicap placard. They don't use it all the time. But in certain situations, her parents will use it, you know, because it's hard for her mother. Double knee replacements. It's hard for her to get around. So, I mean, they're not like Larry, but, I mean,
You have it for a reason.
Right, exactly. They have it for a reason. Her parents have it for a reason. But, I mean, I've thought about, like, wow, that would come in handy sometimes, right? Certain situations. I think
everybody's had this fantasy, especially when you're, like,
driving
around the mall and the only empty parking spots are the handicap one. There's, like, 7 of them. But you still got to keep driving around.
I know. It's crazy. So, yeah, this is like they're living this fantasy. They go everywhere. They go to like the arcade, which is like something little kids do. But Leon and Larry go to this arcade and they won a bunch of tickets. And Leon wants a wiffle bat and a little Star of David air freshener, which is the most ridiculous thing. What is this?
And like Larry looks at it, he's like, oh, Matza sent it.
I mean, like, why would you? I mean, it plays into the story, obviously. But I mean, I don't know who would buy, like, if you had, I bet that's like 500, or I forget how many tickets. He said he had 238 tickets, which is really funny because, I don't know, have you ever been to any of these? arcades that give you tickets. Yeah, I mean, like, you can't buy shit with these things. Like, it's ridiculous.
No.
Unless, I'm going to tell you right now, if you go up to Fun Spot, have you ever been to Fun Spot?
Oh, yeah.
Fun up. Clay? Oh, okay. Oh, good. Oh, I love it. You can actually get decent stuff. We have a bunch of pint glasses from Fun Spot that we got with tickets. So they have decent stuff. But anyway, well, we'll have to take a little trip now that I'm driving. I'm driving now.
Handicap placard.
Well, we'll just park in a regular spot. But yeah, we'll go up there. But anyway, so like...
Plenty of parking in the country. Plenty of parking up there.
That's true. It's
not a problem to find.
It's New Hampshire. It's, yeah, it'll be fine. But anyway, so like the whole point of it is they get a Star David air freshener. And they hang it up there. Right on the mirror. Next they hang it on the mirror, which should be... Yeah, they're both... The handicap placard and the Star David are hanging in the mirror. So they get home. They drive up, and Alan Tudyk is there with the cups. The cups that keep your coffee warm.
And it says something like, I don't know what it says, but it says something like old English, like German, like Reichstag, like font on the box. Like wherever you got it manufactured was like
right. In
Germany or something, you know?
Yeah, it probably wasn't good. It probably was some kind of like white supremacist like factory. But anyway, so like Adolf is there, the dog, and the dog jumps in Larry's car. And first they do this thing again, like because he starts growling at him, and Larry goes, "Hi, Hitler!" And then he's all happy. And Larry gets out, and he's talking to Alan Tudyk, and the dog sees the Star David, and he starts biting it the handicap placard as well.
Yeah.
It's
homework. He ate that.
Exactly. And yeah.
Alan Tudyk has added a key wireless charging element to the final cup design. And he says, now we have a final solution for cold coffee. And then Larry's like, huh? You already said final solution, huh? Huh. Is it finally a solution right. for cold coffee?
Finally,
it's like,
yes.
It's like, huh? And that's when he looks over and the dog's eating the thing.
Yeah. So, yeah. In the next scene, Fred Armisen comes back for his handicap placard. Larry gives him the sort of half. It's just the top part. Like the rest of it, she's like, well,
the hook.
There
the
was
hook
more of it. But it all, yeah, the hook. Right. Exactly. It's like, well, there was more of it, but it kind of all. It was destroyed and just, you know, sort of just gone. So like, and then they talk.
Larry has no remorse when it comes to the sandwiches. It's just like, yeah, it's something happened to it.
Yeah, he does say he'll get him a new one, and then that's the whole.
But
thing.
But how is he like, going to get him a new one? He needs to go with.
Well, yeah, but I think there is a fee, right? I mean, I don't think do they give these out, or is you have to pay? You probably have to pay like $30.
Well, it's
or something.
Like you lose your license. You probably have to pay them.
Right.
It's like $50.
Right.
Whatever.
That's what I mean. So Larry's
license if you lose it.
Yeah. So I think that's what Larry's
but it
offering.
It makes no
to
sense that Larry
it.
Would be able to go down there by himself to replace.
No, he can't else's say.
Thing.
No, right. That doesn't
issue with.
Pharmacy keeps Water. Telling him. Well, you had issue with that. Yeah. Well, I'm sure you do. So there's a whole, but then they establish. Like that he needs to go and tell Jeff that there's a surprise party before Jeff walks in.
Yeah, because Jeff is a little woozy on the golf course that day. He's like,
right.
I gotta sit down. He's like, there's only 5 steps. So Larry's really starting to think of getting concerned about his heart.
Yeah.
And he keeps
Armisen.
Like, oh, Susie's been so wonderful. I love her so much. Have I ever said that about her? I really, she's been great.
Yeah, he's like, she's really been great. Yeah. So, yeah. So Larry tasks Fred Armisen with being, it's meet him outside before he goes in and tell him it's a surprise party. So Fred Armisen goes to the restaurant, but he can't park there because he doesn't have his placard. So he's going to drive all around.
And
meanwhile, Larry is
like a valet guy, and he's like, "Well, you don't have your placard. Like, you gotta get out of here." He's like, "I know, but I have this walker." He's like,
"I have a walker. Matter.
You need the thing."
You're right. You gotta have the placard. So meanwhile, Larry is inside talking to Chris Martin, which is like, I mean, Chris Martin is no, like I said earlier, there's no reason for him to be there. Like, he's not doing anything. But it's just, he's, you know, he's Chris Martin from Coldplay, so he's there. So, yeah, Larry's talking to him. He's asking him, like,
yeah, I don't care about. Chalk him right up really to is. Somebody I don't need in my curb. Bye.
Well, Larry kind of, like, they do kind of embarrass him a little bit, like, or at least he can laugh at himself, I assume. I guess we can say that. Because Larry's like, what happens when you hear one of your songs on the radio? He's like, I pull over. He's like, you pull over and listen to it? He's like, yeah. What do you sing in the shower? Do you sing your songs in the shower? like sometimes. So it's like kind of funny.
Company, I sing.
That's right. That's right. If he has company.
Like, he's talking about tip coordination. He's like, it seems like how you would need to get a shower, not coordination, but yeah, shower coordination, temperature coordination. If you have more than one person in the shower.
So anyways,
it seems like they could ruin a shower is what he said.
That's what he says. Yeah. The doctor, obviously, Rusty shows up. Susie's like, you know, he doesn't see Susie right away, of course, but yeah, he shows up. Rusty's there. And so anyway, Fred Armisen is late. Jeff goes in and they surprise him and he's fine. Like, they go, surprise! And he's fine. I love Larry looks
Fred
over.
Fred Armisen is at like, he's kind of behind Jeff, like, but because he's so slow and he's like 10 feet away, right, he can't hear him. Like, Jeff, excuse me, hello, sir.
he's like, hello,
he's just
sir.
Too far away.
Jeff.
And Jeff's like walking into the restaurant already by the time he's like even close, you know?
Yeah. I know, because he's on his walker and he's so slow.
And then, like, but Larry's like, no, you're not coming to the party. So he doesn't even go inside, I don't think. We don't see
him. Yeah, we don't even see him anymore, I don't think.
Because he tells him to go home. He doesn't even invite him in.
Yeah, he's like, no, you're not going to the party. So, they surprise Jeffy. So I love Larry looks over at Susie and sort of goes, like, too bad. So, like, and Susie just kind of growls at him. Like, was she really trying to kill Jeff? Like, I don't know. It's a little skeptical. Like, it's like she's not trying to kill Jeff. I feel, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, there was not the whole thing, too. She was, like, giving everybody noisemakers and say, make the loudest noise you can.
Yeah, be really loud. So she sees Rusty talking to Larry, and she goes over to him, and she's like, what the fuck are you doing here? You know, like, she hates him, and that he's so scared of Susie that he has, like, he keels over.
The cardiologist has a heart attack, which is like the most like Larry David like slapstick fucking thing. And then you get to see like a worm's eye view of Larry standing over Rusty going, Rusty,
which is also another thing. I know I keep doing this, but it reminds me of the Seinfeld. When Kramer was driving the horse-drawn carriage and he fed the horse like beefarino and the horse had gas. So the horse's name is Rusty. So like he's driving along and the horse is like stinking up a storm and Kramer's like, Rusty! And he's making that face. Like it's hilarious because you can't see smell. You know what I mean? Like you can't see when something smells bad. But like they did it so well, they just actually just took a like just like filmed the horse's butt for like a few seconds, and that's how you know that the horse was gassy. You know, it was hilarious. But yeah, but Kramer says it like the same way that Rusty. I mean, the same way that Larry says it. Larry and Kramer say it the same way.
I'm so glad
they're like Rusty.
All this Seinfeld knowledge.
Yes,
and greatly enhances my enjoyment.
Oh, good.
I don't remember any of this stuff. I mean, I'm sure I've seen all that stuff, but I don't remember like real super specific Seinfeld stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's what makes this. It does add an element for me, too. It just a little. They're little nods, but they do make me laugh. So little similarities. So maybe I don't know if they're throwing them in there on purpose just for people like me. I don't know.
The whole thing, like even that, how the show references itself, especially this season, it seems like the whole thing is like, why didn't you wait for me at the bathroom?
Right.
Like, you wait.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah. You wait. Yeah. They've done the handicap restroom thing before.
And another layer is that he goes to the waiting room to wait, which is just a ridiculous Curb Your Enthusiasm thing to do. You know?
I know. That is actually, yeah, like, I think Jerry Seinfeld had something like that in his stand-up, where he said they call it the waiting room. There's no chance you're not going to wait. They call it the waiting room. And I don't know, and the dog, yeah. For me, the dog also reminded me of the bra sniffing dog from whatever season that was. Again, with the restaurants.
Oh yeah, oh, yeah.
The bra sniffing dog kind of reminded me of Adolf in this one.
Adolf.
So, Adolf the dog.
And, you know, he's also gonna throw like the kid that was like doing like the swastika dance. Like he throws a nice little, you know, Holocaust joke every once in a while.
The kid, the Project Runway. That kid, I love that kid.
Yeah, it's like
oh, what you watching in there? Project Runway. What do you like about it? The fashion. That is actually one of my favorite Curb episodes of all time. Yeah, but this one is I enjoyed this one quite a bit. I have to say, this is like we said last week. This is classic Curb. This is classic the kind of episode Curb. That I'm into,
and I'm making this sound like a technical comment that it's really not. Like, the editing of the show is so good. Like when you cut Vince Vaughn's dialogue, and you know you're reminded of him in Old School or Dodgeball or fucking like just the way he talks when he's being a comedic actor is. I mean, I'm not saying Vince Vaughn is like. You know, fucking Robert De Niro, but like he has a certain kind of like rhythm to like his stuff, just like Will Ferrell does. He has a certain kind of thing, but like Vince Vaughn, like when he says something, it kind of like catches you off guard, and it's really smart usually. And like they cut all of his stuff like so perfectly. He's a great addition to the show. It's awesome.
I agree. I've gone in through like phases of Vince Vaughn where I'm like, oh God, like I found him kind of annoying or whatever, you know, but I think he's great. You forgot
about his True Detective season.
Yeah, I did. I totally forgot about that. But I mean, I watched Swingers recently and I was like, oh my God, Vince Vaughn was so funny. Like, he was so good. He had that, talk about, I mean, that dialogue, he had that snappy dialogue down so well.
Like, you know, we all wanted to be like that back then, baby.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. I mean,
that was like the coolest thing. Like, I mean, like Clerks was like something when we just started to discover it was like a cool thing. But like Swingers, like I was like living that movie, or I was like trying to, like when that movie came out, you know, like I was like,
oh, I was like, too, because I went to LA. That was when I lived in LA.
Right. Yeah.
I went to LA like a few months later and I was like, oh my God, yeah, we got to go to all these places. We got to go to the Dresden. We got to, like, well, yeah, of course I went to In-N-Out Burger, but yeah, like, but like I was just, yeah, I wasn't cool enough. You know, I just was not, I could not do it. But like, yeah, I mean, like, so I've gone through phases where I'm like, oh, Vince Vaughn's really funny. And then I'll go, oh, Vince Vaughn, ugh, he's kind of annoying. And then, he got kind of pudgy. And, like, I thought, like, oh, now he's just living off his old stuff and whatever. But, no, I mean, he's good. And
Wedding?
He's a great.
He was in Wedding Crashers, right?
Yeah.
that's
with Isla Fisher. Wilson.
That like that's a pretty good movie. Those guys are no, funny that is in that pretty movie. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was still like I mean that was like 10 plus years ago too. Like that was like a long time ago.
Right. So I mean like he goes in and out like and it's
yeah,
fun.
He goes
and,
in and out.
Everybody does, but there was a time where I thought he was going to be the like he was going to be like I don't know, like George Clooney kind of thing where like everything he does is gold. But you know, he's gone in and out, but like this is great. This is a great
I
role
like him
for
being
him.
The mattress champ and the Speaker City guy, you know, like I like him being that guy.
Yeah, he's kind of like the regular guy, you know. I like yeah. it. I like
but
it.
He's like a little like he's a little successful too. Like he's right. like not like the manager of the Speaker store. He's like the owner of the chain of stores, you know, like so he could roll yeah. with the Funkhausers and the Davids and the Garlands because they're like
yeah.
kind of like hot. They're in the same like money like class, you know.
Yeah, but I like him too, like as the eccentric, you know, he's like, oh, you know, he's a little weird, but not like, you know, yeah, he's yeah. not Kramer. But he's got a little, oh, yeah, I know
it's
a guy.
Your journey.
Whatever.
It's your journey.
That's right. Hey, man, you want to cuddle? Whatever. It's your journey. So, I mean, no, he's great. Everybody is. That's so many. I mean, I doubt we'll see Fred Armisen again, but that was a great addition. I don't know. This season's been really good as far as guests and everything. And
but remember, like, there's even you know there's the mailman. He's shown up more than once, and he's like a small character in the series, but like it's had like some important right. moments. So like maybe we will see Fred Armisen again. We don't know.
Like, well, you're right.
Papa, hey, look, Mocha Joe's coming from some yeah. whole other season.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. You never know. And now we might see Mocha Joe's mom again.
Yeah.
But you know what's funny too? We started watching Miracle Workers. I don't know if you've ever watched that show on TBS. It's a really funny show. It's got Steve Buscemi and. What's his name? Harry Potter there. Daniel Radcliffe.
Okay.
It's really funny. It's a wicked, I mean, if you have, it's only, the first season was 7 episodes. This season's only 6. So you can just bang this out, but I think it's hilarious. But anyway, we were watching it last night. I'm like, oh my God, that's John Daly. He plays the mailman on Curb Your Enthusiasm. So yeah, these people pop up and it's great. It's great to see him. So
But check out
Miracle like Work.
When you're saying about cameos, like it's either a cameo or it's like a big deal, like Lin-Manuel Miranda, like F. Murray Abraham,
right.
like those are like huge fucking stars. And like Alan Tudyk he'll do anything, just because I feel like he's like close to the metal. You know, he's like, you know, hey, do you want to do this thing? Yeah, I'll do it. You know.
Well, yeah. Like, I mean, I think it's. Yeah,
he's
I mean, he does a lot
stuff
of
doing comedy. Lots of different things. You know, like he'll try stuff.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, yeah, you don't get not everybody gets to be in Star Wars. You know, I mean, it's pretty impressive. Yeah. But I mean, he does a lot of comedy. Like he does. So I kind of feel like Curb Your Enthusiasm is like a notch in your belt. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, I'm a comedic actor. I got to do Curb. You know.
Or speaking of comedy, and this is like not they had like a DC show that was very short-lived, but it was pretty funny, and it was kind of like Damage Control in the Marvel Universe, but it was like the DC version, and it had the Indian guy from Community was like on that show, and Alan Tudyk played Bruce Wayne's cousin, who like ran the DC version of Damage Control, and they had like wacky inventions and stuff there, and like his name was like, you know, Fred Wayne or something like that. And he was really funny in it. Like he was like the head of the little organization, and he was like kind of like an eccentric, you know, dude and didn't know what he was doing, but he was in charge of everything. And there was like maybe only like 8 episodes, but it was pretty funny.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, he turns up every... A lot of these comedians, I mean, it's great that there's so many... Like, when I saw Greg German, or German, or however you pronounce it, like, I was like, oh, my God. Like, wait a minute, who is that guy? And I was like, oh, my God, Ally McBeal. Like, I mean... And then I looked him up on IMDb, and he's been working steadily ever since. But, like,
yeah, I know. I mean, I've seen that guy a thousand times.
Yeah, he does.
And he was good. He was good in this. Rusty.
Rusty! So, I mean, it's just, it's great. But Curb does, I mean, it's or like Bryan Cranston as the therapist, you know. It's funny how sometimes, like, Ted Danson is Ted Danson, but all these other famous actors are playing roles. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like kind of, And Jeff, like, plays himself pretty much. And, you know, like, but some people, But Jeff Garland isn't.
Yeah.
Jeff Garland's a comedian. He's not a he's not Larry David's manager.
But it's Jeff Green in the show. His name is Jeff Green. Yeah, right. But his name is Jeff. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, like, sometimes they'll have, like, Richard Lewis plays Richard Lewis, the comedian, the guy, you know. But sometimes you'll have, like, Fred Armisen.
Even ask them, what do you want to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. Or there like, could be a certain
level of fame.
Yeah. And maybe, like, a certain age.
Yeah, right, right.
But like, yeah, Lin-Manuel Miranda plays Lin-Manuel Miranda. Or a version of Lin-Manuel Miranda. You know, so, yeah, it's pretty interesting. I mean, it's I think it's great. It's good writing all around. When you can do that, you can do it either way, and it works, and nobody really questions, you know. So,
and I don't have a I don't have a Curb in the News segment, but I was proud of.
Oh, I was going to ask.
I was watching Star Trek Nemesis because I'm really trying to get excited about this Picard show that's on TV. That's okay, but it's like kind of boring. But F. Murray Abraham is in. He's in Nemesis. He has, like, the skin, like...
Yes.
Pulled over his face. Like, he's trying to, you know, they're trying to use, like, the special properties of that planet that they were on or whatever to cure himself. But F. Murray Abraham was in last season of Curb with Lin-Manuel Miranda. Let's not forget. And he said that...
He was the villain in... Like,
he was like, oh, you wore those pants yesterday, Larry. He's like, but they're clean. He's like, you're an outfit tracker. You're an outfit tracker.
That's right. I was a runner of the outfit tracker.
It's like, F. Murray has, or Big Murray has better things to do than track your outfit.
Big Murray. Yeah, that's right. I mean, yeah, this is, they've had, we should do a whole episode on all the guests someday, but they've had a lot, so. But that's what we got for this week. Thanks for listening, everybody. We got a few more episodes this season. So
yeah, not that many left. So
But check us out. Anchor, Stitcher, Spotify, leaguepodcast.com.
And maybe if you guys actually like this and, you know, whatever, leave us or just tell us. Probably it would only take one person to say they like it.
For that's right.
To do, like, the old episodes. You'd be like, okay, I'll do it for that one person.
Or yeah, maybe, I mean,
we can always.
Maybe you listeners. Sorry, yeah. We both kept on. Maybe you listeners have a Curb in the News thing that you can send us because we don't have any Curb in the News, but maybe if you see a Curb in the News.
And then what I was alluding to was there's plenty of Curb that we have not covered because we've only started doing this podcast recently.
That's so true.
Motivate us to go back, you know, maybe we start from the pants tent, work our way through all the wheelchair girlfriends and right through the
outfit
tracking. You know, it could all get
covered. We would certainly, yeah, let us know. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you chumps later.
Truck is passing you on the right lane. You're so slow. There's a whole, all those horns, they're beeping you.
I don't think it's me.
Who do you think the honks are for?
Each other.